Yes. Well, I've just had a very nourishing slice of toast with Bovril on it.
Really?
And I think that will help me in this endeavor.
I don't know.
Morning,
see,
even though it's
not good for the
early voice,
is it? I mean, toast is not supposed to be great for the voice, is it? You know.
Oh, is it not?
I mean, there are certain things you shouldn't touch if you're going to record. I'm told coffee is bad. Coffee is bad, apparently.
Oh God, I always drink.
You know, anything milky things should milky keep things. Keep away from milky things when you're going to record. Anyway, I feel we're about ready to start. Would you like to do the introduction?
Okay, that felt a bit soon.
Oh, really? Bah, 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 bah. You got to eat your toast and rub off your crumbs.
Yeah. And rub the crumbs off my... Yeah. Anyway, no, right.
So your tongue is now coated with breadcrumbs. Warm, toasty
it's
breadcrumbs.
It's not. That's a horrible image. No one needs to think about that. It's not.
It would be a monster in a cereal.
I've had a swig of water since.
No, oh, right.
Right.
Deciding that a podcast looking into the science fiction serials that featured in cinemas in the 1930s and beyond was long overdue, Andy and Martin set about rectifying this omission. Having completed the 1936 13-part serial entitled Flash Gordon, made by Universal Pictures and based upon the cartoon strip of the same name created by Alex Raymond, and all 15 chapters of 1938's Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars, we now present our running commentary series for the final 12-part serial from 1940, Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe. Hello, and welcome to Space Soldiers, a commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes. Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, Chapter 4, The Destroying Ray.
Hello,
hello,
and welcome to Space Soldiers, Flash Gordon commentary podcast with me, Andy.
And me, Martin. How you doing, you toast-raddled fool?
That's quite an accurate description. I'm okay.
Good.
I am good, thank you.
In the several decades since we recorded episode 3, which of course will only be a week ago for the loyal listener, but...
The loyal listener, yeah. The loyal, is that listener singular?
Who knows? No, I think we're talking to them individually. We're in each one of their ears alone.
That's true.
So, you know.
Yes, Misfit Scully, yeah. Trevor Baxendale, anyone else who I could suddenly remember to name but haven't, failed.
Now, today's episode,
yes.
Episode 4 of Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe, is a repeat.
Sorry?
It's a repeat, because the episode is called The Destroying Ray. And we've already watched The Destroying Ray, if you recall. Way back in serial number 1, episode 5, was called The Destroying Ray. Now, Universal, basically, they've got 40 episodes of Flash Gordon, and twice they used the same title. It's like they couldn't think of anything better. So we're about to...
Well.
So I imagine it was all sorts of confusion. I imagine actually nobody remembered at all, but it's only people like us now, because this was 4 years ago in Flash Gordon terms. But in terms of lobby cards and things, people going, we got this one, right? This is the one with the leather shorts, isn't it? Oh, I thought we'd seen this one. So I don't know, but that's just an interesting aspect of episode 4 of Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe.
Okay, now, that's all very nice, but I've just realised that I haven't got headphones for my PC. So we have to wait until I find some.
Shitting hell. That's episode 5. Well, I'll just read my book and do some cribbing.
Oh, you couldn't get me a coffee, could you? That would really help. Toby's been fed if she pretends she hasn't.
How can I get you a coffee? I mean, I know we like to imply that we're sitting on a cosy sofa somewhere doing this. There's about 200 miles. It will be a very cold coffee by the time it's delivered. Although obviously people can do was that buy that coffee online and what have you, which of course. Is...
I have to say I'm very distracted by Charlie Chan's Murder Cruise on the right hand panel here on YouTube.
Charlie Chan's Murder Cruise. Yes. That sounds tasteful and up to date. Yes, it's quite a long list.
Not at all racist.
No, not at all. No. Probably proper Asian actors, not white men with things on their face. No, absolutely right.
Right. Okay.
Although I'm reading down the list and I can see Undersea Kingdom and Commando Cody in my list. So that.
Oh. Gosh.
That's for the future. Well, I'm ready.
Are
if
we
you
ready
are.
To press play on the television?
Do you have things on your ears?
I do now. Which actually would help.
Do they have like rabbit ears attached? Are they cozy and fluffy and
oh yeah, cozy and fluffy. Yeah. Okay. But one's pink and fluffy. The other side is black leatherette.
Right. This is just your wardrobe, you isn't go. It? Are you just describing your underwear to me now?
Of a Saturday morning. Yes,
pink fluffy correctly. Underwear with leatherette finish. Today,
that's horrible.
Today on the catwalk, Andy will be modelling a pink fluffy underwear with leatherette flourishes.
No one needs to hear that twice.
And turn.
And turn.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah.
I am ready to press
play.
Ready to hit
play. Need to do a Finally. Countdown, I think.
Oh, sorry, yes. So, if you're following along at home, boys and girls, you need to press play in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Go!
Oh, God, that's loud.
It's rather, isn't it? You've obviously been talking to people in a loud way.
Oh, lightning flash.
Anyway, dazzling lightning light lettering. List of characters. Larry's back.
Oh, it's good, this is.
And a lot of...
I like this.
I've a lot of Lemmy in the background. Now, there's actually apparently scenes behind this that aren't in the show, but I've been watching a lot of stuff about German cinema in the last few weeks. You might be surprised to hear.
I am. I'm astonished.
Yeah, and German cinema, despite all the horrible sort of stuff that was going on back in them days, is actually very interesting and very visually exciting, and I think a lot of Flash Gordon picks up on that. The only problem is that the whole Superman stuff that has been pushed by those evil bastards back in the 30s Germany tends to sort of go on. Anyway, forward!
Chapter 4. Emperor Ming, rejoicing in the belief that Flash and his party have been destroyed, intercepts a radio message from Flash to his father, saying he has discovered Polarite, an antidote for the death dust with which Ming is bombarding the Earth. Ming, enraged and knowing his soldiers cannot survive the intense cold of Phrygia, sends Torch against the expedition with an army of Mechan-Ickle men charged with explosives, which Torch can control and explode from his ship. Deep in the first... Oh, I missed all of that last bit! It was fast!
Too slow, prisoner! Anyway, I'm just wondering about the Ickle men now.
Yeah, the Ickle men.
The Ickle
men. They're scary, I don't like them.
Yeah, alright, you're still intimidated by them.
Hmm. That was quite a fall from Flash there. Not Flash, Dale.
Yeah.
Jump.
Yeah, no, this is
but
is
you
where
can't let the mechanical men touch you because they're bad.
And there was a big bang, wasn't there? Now these are the, don't forget, they walk strange. They have talons and scratching. Now, something I discovered is that Torch's oppo here is called Thong.
Thong?
Thong, that's his name. Thong. Torch and
another
his...
Another call back to my underwear there.
Torch and his thong. Well, that's why it seemed appropriate. See, everything's connected. Everything's connected. So anyway, Thong is standing here with his hands on his hips. Standing behind Torch. As they watch what's happening.
Oh, so now they're holding them. Are they continuously electrocuting while they're holding Dale there or not?
No, I think the electrocution thing is part of their attack mode, and then they go into standby mode to lug away our heroine mode.
Yeah. That's the closest we've had Zarkov to wearing shorts again there. He was very tight leggings there.
Well, we have to remember, of course, that this is Torch whose life is forfeit, who's just done his training day on how to run mechanical men. So this is where we are in the story. So Torch is, with his two handles, he's managing to run all these different people in completely different ways. I think it's quite clever. He's obviously very clever, Torch, even though he doesn't necessarily show it.
Look it.
Yeah, or show it.
So they don't have any agency, those mechanical men. No. They're being controlled
completely
from a panel.
Controlled. Anyway, Flash fell into a hole and survived. Flash is not as deaded as we previously believed.
Gosh.
So he's there in his Santa suit. crawling out of his hole.
It's very Santa, isn't it? I would love to see if that was red, that would be amazing.
I think that all weather gear, climbing gear, has changed a lot since the 1930s. But actually, this is actually quite sophisticated stuff. When you actually look at the early sort of hill climbers that went up Everest and the stuff they were wearing. But oh God, Zarkov's gone the full Santa now.
Yes!
He's got his. If he painted that
Mrs.
white
Claus.
Beard,
he's
got
to be Mrs. Claus dressed like that.
Yeah, he'll be doing children's parties now. But Newdale is looking a bit sad and deflated, quite frankly.
She keeps whimpering. I'm not sure the other one would have done that. Actually, she would, wouldn't she?
What are we making of comparative Dales? Are we quite finding Newdale all right?
Mm. Yeah, she's okay.
She's no Jane Rogers.
She's okay.
Anyway, Flash has met up with his chums, his surviving chums. You can tell they're different because they've got different outfits on. And this is New Baron as well, isn't it?
He's much sexier, New Baron. We like him.
Timothy Dalton Baron.
Is that the one in the middle or the one on the right?
I've lost track.
Which one's the middle one?
You would say, it's the one with the moustache, but of course that doesn't help, really.
They've both got little thin moustaches.
Where do you feel on the moustache in world, in life?
I don't like thin moustaches, and I don't like those ones that wax and
it
curl. They're wrong.
Earth!
We interrupt this moustache flash for...
People really did have nothing for entertainment apart from go and stand in the street, did they? And listen to men on shelves shouting at them.
Tell them what they should think.
I mean, this is the 1930s in a nutshell. I mean, they were doing it in Germany,
This is Texas right now. This is men deciding things for everyone.
Ooh, bit of politics. But anyway, white men in suits in rooms having chats. Oh, keeping up the morale of the crowd.
Yes, it's thrilling stuff. It's the stuff that cinemas, you know. Wow.
But anyway, basically, it seems that he's taking. This is basically the purple death threat. Now is pretty much finished from this point. He drops the Polaroid on top of a mountain, and apparently that will suck all the death dust, because it's like magnetic Polaroid. It draws the death dust to itself, so nobody else would die of purple death. Now, I feel that as a medical solution, it's not necessarily... I mean, let's face it, we had all the COVID stuff. Now, if you just said, all you need to do is stick a box of stuff on top of a mountain... And all the COVID particles in the world will be sucked towards it. I don't feel that really this is a realistic solution, but this is the solution to the Purple Death. And ultimately, within the rest of the show, we don't
deal with Purple Death. I feel like a scientist hasn't approved this.
Oh, yeah. Scientific advisors on science fiction, yeah. I feel that they just take the money and run. Let's be honest.
I don't think they're following the science here.
I don't think any, scientific advisors.
Oh, that's quite a bottom on display there.
Oh, well, this is a man.
What's happening?
This is a man in tights.
He's not wearing pants.
Yeah, this is a man in tights. Well, that's probably thong.
No, thongs with torch.
Anyway, he's just opened up the slow cooker.
Anyway, there's a visible panty line on him.
Fair enough.
So he's definitely not wearing a
shirt. I wasn't looking that closely. You've obviously got a better definition screen than me. But anyway, he's... So they're dropping chunks of Polaroid through into the slow cooker.
Oh, this is the worst way to deal with a problem ever.
The world is saved, but we've got 8 episodes to go of adventure and excitement. But Flash is basically saying, my mate Zarkov's in trouble. I'm going back to get him. So your planet's safe now. Sod off. We don't want to see you in the rest of the story. Thank you very much. Men, stand around.
Oh, like the guy who's having a bit of a moment because his daughter's with Ming. Oh, gosh, he was really upset then.
Yeah, well, was that Mr. Arden?
Yes!
Wow. Well, obviously,
just had a fade then.
Look, after all the adventures she's had, if you don't think... Even though she's not the same daughter that she was. If you don't think she can't look after us. Oh,
Dancing Girl.
Dancing Girl stuff. Ooh, Dancing Girl action.
And it's actually there. It's actually in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, Gene. Is that Gene?
Cut to Great God Tao. Oh, no. I think this is Anne Gwynn, isn't it? This is... This is our... Or is this... No, I believe there is an extra who went on to greater things in this episode.
Oh.
I believe. Welcome back to Mongo, Dr. Zorro. But or that might be in the next episode.
Pretty Dale. Pretty Dale, but I don't fancy you because you haven't got blonde hair.
I don't know. Yes. I feel that Ming's about to have a change of mind on that one.
Oh. I see we've still got the wipe clean background there.
Well,
so Ming can get up to anything in the palace.
He's about to demand that she gets dressed in clothes fitting for the wife of an emperor, so I think he has got designs again. So upset daddy all those light years away is probably, you know, he may have a point. Whether or not you will help
me in my conquest of the universe or meet such an amusing
death. Oh, he's threatening Zarkov now. Help me or die! Wow. Help me or die! Now, of course, this was a situation that a lot of people put
in. The serving girl behind is quite well dressed.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like, look at that.
Well, she's definitely, the pair of them, as it were, are definitely standing to... they've been chosen for particular reasons, I think. But there we are. So anyway, Zarkov is now under threat of death, and we're flying over Phrygia, I think, with torch and thong, fly over Phrygia. I know Phrygia looks remarkably like the aerial shots of Earth where they were dumping the Polarite, but hey, yeah, you've got your stock footage, and let's face it...
I'm confused. That was... Oh, look at that bottom. That's terrible. He looked like he was naked. Oh my god, that was horrific. He's got a massive backside. Anyway,
it's funny really.
I'm quite distracted.
He's a well shaved underling. He's had a full body wax.
I hadn't realised that was happening on Earth. I thought that was happening on Mongo. Mongo. Are we Mongo?
Flash went to Earth to save the Earth and has now flown back. It's basically a taxi service now.
I feel that they got to Earth from Mongo really quickly, mm-hmm. and then back again really quickly.
And now we've got Torch landing in a snowstorm. I mean, at least they are putting the snow on, and it's consistent now. I mean, it's, you know, your stock footage, despite being stock footage, is actually, Oh, look, but the men in wind. It's a good job he's wearing more than a thong, isn't it, really, to be honest?
Yeah, that's good acting, that is. Yeah. Blanket acting, yes. It's very cold here. Oh, look at the coldness in this rocket ship.
Yeah. And they have got...
That's clever.
They seem to be wearing, I don't know, what are they called? Feather dusters on the top of their heads. So they can actually sort of clean the ceiling from the cobwebs as they walk around the rocket ship.
Multitask.
Which is actually a pretty good idea. Yes. If they were telescopic, I think, hold on, I'm just going to copyright this. It's my million squillion dollar selling fundraising idea. The telescopic feather duster hat. Now, is this... I think you have a tale for us, don't you? You have a tale for us about helmets. Flash Gordon helmets.
Oh, I do, yes, which we will append to one of the episodes. I saw an original Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe helmet.
Was it one of these?
Neil Cole's Museum of Classic Sci-Fi, yes.
One of the lifty lid jobs.
And I looked at it and it went, ooh, ah. And he was very pleased that I was excited about it, because no one else has ever been excited about it.
Well, you know, the thing is, these series are all terribly old. Anyway, there's been a bit of a clothes swap, so now Thong's been left in his thong inside the spaceship. While Flash, and is it Roker?
Are you sure? I thought Torch was left inside. Torch and Thong, isn't it? Oh, I don't know. I get really confused. I don't know who anyone is anymore.
No, but Flash and Roker are infiltrating, whilst... Torch, who's suddenly looking a bit like Jack Hawkins. I've seen a lot of Jack Hawkins recently.
Have you?
Anyway, they've been rescued.
Look at that bin. Can you see that bin as they open the door? There's a little sort of bin on the ramp. It's a bit odd.
Anyway, Ming on the balcony, doing his proper full Mussolini.
Totally. What have you done
with Dr. Zarkov? But Dale is now wearing clothes more befitting the wife of an emperor. And he's now, he's being manipulative now. He's thinking, can you do the hair blonde? But oh my god!
Exactly.
Zarkov's been tied up between two silicony rocks.
Giant
bit of basalt.
Rocks. Yeah.
reconsider your decision, Dr. Zarkov. Whose hair's thinning a bit now, isn't it? I know how your feels are.
Oh, there's a clock. Oh, yes. There's a clock. They have clocks on
Mongo. That's the Mongo clock, yes.
Yeah.
Still only 12 hours in a Mongo day.
It's quite...
convenient.
What's the word? Very convenient and a relief. Yes.
Anyway,
Oh, gosh.
Oh, she's backing away. See, if her dad was there, he'd probably faint all over. They seem to be a very fainty family.
Oh, no!
Very fainty family.
Yeah, fainty family.
We know where the genetics are, but at least we know he is her... So she is his daughter. That's it. Yes, I knew there was a way round of saying that. Oh, shall we do the cobwebs while we're here? Say Flash and Roker. Shall we do the ceilings? Yes, let's paint the ceilings. Telescope. So anyway, some guards without feathers on their hats come by.
And what if they've got their helmets down if they are not pretending to be
and walk between two pillars. Now, I feel that Flash is... I think they only built two pillars. I feel those two pillars standing was the same.
Okay, he moved around everywhere.
Yeah, I feel.
Oh, look, there's a spiral staircase, though.
Oh, yes, very nice. And some very nice shadow work as well from the railings, I thought. Anyway, no fight music! Sword fight! Although Flash is doing a bit of bullfighting with his robe there. Oh! Way! It's very fisticuffs. All the swords are on the ground. Fisticuffs.
It is.
Meanwhile, between two pillars, Zarkov...
It looks like there's a mini sort of tank in front of him on the ground.
The thing is, it's Zarkov. You'd think he would have knocked up an escape device in the 2 minutes he's had since.
An invisibility ray, perhaps. Look at that tank thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. At the front.
There's all sorts of strange levery things in the room. Now, up the stairs goes room, Flash. Yeah. Oh, that's a rack. It actually looks
that's
like
a rack. Yes. Yeah.
Cranky. There's a big key on the wall, but look. Oh, zappy, zappy, zappy. Do you think this could be the destroying ray?
I think it's the destroying ray as I live and
breathe.
Going
across the floor slowly. It's the very inefficient way of doing it. Is this to add to the peril and the anticipation of your diath, do you think? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. So this is Ming's torture dungeon, and I love the fact that he's got a balcony so that he can watch all the tortures going on. Oh, it's Flash!
I mean, you've got to get your kicks somehow, you know. Now he can't hide it behind his robe, though. I think he's just being more overt about his perversions, quite frankly. Oh, fist wave. Oh, they're both there now. Will Flash get Zarkov out in time? The ray's getting closer, but obviously not closely very quickly. I mean, you'd think it's a laser beam. You can move at the speed of light. You could just go point, zap, dead. But no. We have to put a bit of theatre into it, a little bit of spotlighting.
Oh, wow. Oh, he's in full
Dale's
ray blast
a
now.
Big old thumping Ming. He looks chuffed. He actually had a very smiley, it's like smiley Spock there for a second. And they're in the destroying ray. They are dead.
See the Palace of Terror! Chapter 5 of Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe at this theatre next week!
Yeah. Hooray!
Gosh.
But they are basically dead. I mean, that beam has basically, you know, done them. I mean, they were...
I thought it was just going to singe their legs a bit, you know.
Well, like I say...
But no, it went full onto their face by the end there.
Their faces. I mean, you know... Dire
peril.
For my close-up spotlight, all that. But let's face it, if it's a destroying ray, does it destroy you quite slowly? Does it take sort of your skin off a layer at a time?
Yes, it's more of a baking ray. I feel
a slow
bake.
Well, that's why they had that slow cooker in the spaceship. You see, it's all connected. It's, basically, Mongo technology is all about slowness.
Slowness, yes, it is. So, will Flash escape the baking ray?
What do you reckon?
Or
are you going to worry all week?
He's been on a low light. He's been on a low light since Wednesday.
Well, he might be cooked by next
week. I think
he'll
be fine. Yeah, exactly.
He'll just come back with a tan.
I do fret terribly. Yes.
Be on the beach.
Yeah, just be a bit, you know, just a bit tanned. He's just been off to the beach for a few days. He'll be fine.
the tanning ray of doom.
Who is sponsoring us this episode that we need to mention? Who's giving us lots of...
Wasn't it Warburton's?
Warburton's, yes. Warburton's bread is the best toast you'll ever eat.
Was it Bovril on toast? Did you say you had Bovril on toast?
I did have Bovril on toast. I don't think it's a strange thing, but the more you exclaim as you say that, the more strange
I think it is.
I
think I don't think of Bovril as a spread, that's all. I think of it as a drink. I think I'd get very soggy toast. And it's like, if you're going to dip your rich tea in it, you know, you dip your toast in the drink.
It's no, but it's no soggier than Marmite. They're the same consistency.
Ah, well, yes, well, Marmite wouldn't touch with a barge pole, personally, but there we go. Vegemite, for Australian listeners. For
Australians. Yeah, I don't think we have any, babe.
No.
I don't think we have any. So!
She just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
Until we meet again to discuss Chapter 5, The Palace of Terror.
Palace of Terror.
I hope you're all enjoying your Saturdays or whenever you listen to this. It's lovely that some of you do listen to us regularly. And you'll be rewarded in this life, not the next one, now. You'll be rewarded now just with our love and thoughts and nice things for listening. So well done. Have you got anything to add, Martin?
No, I don't think so. I'm just letting you ramble on.
Ramble on
about
like
loving things, because I do all the hate and horribleness. And, go away. Leave us
alone.
That's
true. Good cop, bad cop. That's what we are.
That's absolutely right. So I suppose we should just say until next time, I have been Martin.
And I've been Andy.
Bye-bye. Join us next time for another exciting episode of Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes.
Very out of sync there.
It'll all sort itself in the edit.
Yes. Seamless in post, sweetie. Seamless in post. Yeah.
You wish, whenever I get round to editing the... I'm a very busy man. I've got this fiend cracking the whip over this... it's a bit like being in one of Ming's palaces, it really is. But anyway.
Who's this fiend who is cracking the whip and making you do lots of work?
I couldn't possibly say. We don't name names on the old Space Soldiers podcast.
No, we just don't do it. It wouldn't be proper.
So, how have you been?
Darling, I have been very, very busy.
Very, very busy.
Do you know that thing where you know there's like a giant mountain and you've got to climb it somehow?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, and out at the top of it is Ming's Palace. everybody seems to climb up to Ming's Palace without actually having any problems at all with breathlessness. Whereas I'd be like, let me just lie down for 10 minutes if you don't.
There's a time that I persuaded my wife to come up Snowdon with me.
Oh, yes. Before it got crowded.
Well, no, it's... I don't know. Probably, yeah. 2001, I think it was. And...
we took the train.
I said, no, it's fine. There's a pub at the top. And she's a bit of a beer monster. So she was... that was fine. As long as there was a beer at the top, that was fine. And we got up there and we just missed it. Just closed. I don't think she's ever forgiven me for that. No beer at the top of Snowdon.
You should have walked quicker. It's that simple.
Well, that's what I said to her. That also didn't go well.
Okay, I did Helvellyn once while we were on holiday, possibly with a bit of a hangover. Yeah. And we went up, the two couples I knew at the time and me, because I was single, sad and lonely. And we chose a route that it takes you up to Striding Edge, but it takes you up to Striding Edge that was, it was just like 3 miles, or it felt like 3 miles, of 45 degree angle. It was just a straightforward path that goes all the way up to this gap in the wall. Mm. And it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. I thought I was going to die. The only thing that got me to the top was this idea that I knew there was a box of Crunchy Nut Cornflakes in the place we were staying. And I thought, I need Crunchy Nut Cornflakes. But the funny thing was, about a year later, a friend of mine at work said, oh, should we climb Helvellyn this weekend? I just thought, it's going to kill me.
Yes, this time.
And we went from the car park and literally we went up a different route and we were up to the same level in about 10 minutes. and then you just walk flat, flat along the top, and we got to the same point where this gap in the wall was, and I felt fine. And I just thought, yeah, it really is, it's that slog of that gradient. You know, it's actually... And anyway, that's all massively irrelevant. Let's see, so, shall we see if we... tell me, Space Soldier, you remember Space Soldier? Space Soldiers, it's a podcast we used to do, don't you know?
Yes, before we did work.